Okay, good. Look, we're starting chapter 10, folks. We're starting 1. Aren't you excited? Aren't you just can't wait to...
All right, I get it. Bonds are boring. Bonds are dodgy. Bonds are reliable.
Doctor's taxi.
Right? But bonds can make you very rich, but they can also make you very sad.
Will bonds make you rich?
Yeah, no.
No.
You can make them.
But if you sell a few and then don't pay, right? So that's called fraud. That's
time-honored way of making money.
Okay. So, first we need a good joke. Anybody good at good jokes?
That's a lot.
A lot?
I think I already told it. I don't have to do it. I want to know how to make a large, how to make a small fortune in the stock market.
Start with a large one.
You gotta get some other jokes. So we're talking about, I told you about the guy with the sports car, right?
No.
I didn't tell you about the guy with the sports car. I told you what the brain cell, right? The women's brain cell?
Yeah.
This is the guy. He just got this brand new little hot sports car, and he's so excited he put it on himself, and he's taking it out on the freeway to see what he can do, right? That's the hair blowing through his wind. And he sees in the little red, mirror, a red light flashing.
Oh, no, I just got this thing in the insurance. It's so devastating.
I can run this guy. I'll run the cops. So I get off the next day, just hide. So he takes off, and it goes up about 105, 10 miles an hour. But those cop cars can go 150. And so the cop is right behind him. Now he's got the siren blowing. He's got the yelling for the loudspeaker to pull over, you clown. What do you think you're doing? So the guy pulls over. And he'll act real sorry. The cop is furious. He said, buddy, you better have a good reason why you tried to run.
To jail. And officer, last week, my wife ran away with a cop.
And the cop looks at him and says, so?
I thought you were trying to bring her back.
They're great. They're the best jokes are the jokes between a woman and a man. All right, let's get started. With Bonds. Now, before the movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate, Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Mellon University, Gentlemen Prefer Bonds.
Before Maryland's time.
Before Maryland's time, yeah, before Maryland's time. And is it true that gentlemen prefer bonds?
No.
Well, are they more civil than stocks? Are they more, are they safer than stocks?
Yes,
exactly. So once you're already rich, sure, you're great, you're happy with bonds. In fact, what we're going to see is bonds are often, individual bonds are often catered towards the wealthy. What are bonds? Bonds are negotiable, publicly traded, long-term debt securities. You are buying a loan, whereby the issuer agrees to pay a fixed amount of interest over a specified period of time, and then to repay the fixed amount of principal and maturity. You get to play the part of the bank. So that when you go to a bank and borrow money, what do you pay? Interest and principal. Well, when corporations, municipalities, and the federal government, when they need money, do they go to a bank? Not usually, no. They go out to the investment community. They're large enough to say, hey, we're the state of California, or hey, we're JCPenney's, or we're the federal government. Will you lend us money? And investors say, sure. You're going to pay me interest and principal back? No problem. The bondholder loans the money to the bond issuer. Bonds are loans. So the investors who buy bonds are loaners instead of stockholders, which are owners. And so for that reason, we call them fixed securities, fixed income securities. The thing about a bond that you don't know about a stock is you know how much money you're going to make. You know going into it. Unless there is some kind of default or something goes wrong. But do most people pay their mortgage payments?
No, yeah.
During normal times.
Yes.
Are these normal times? No, they're getting more normal, thankfully. But yeah, right. Do most people pay their car loans, their credit card loans? Yeah. And Not most, during normal times. The last few years have been very difficult, but things are starting to look... Yeah, mortgage rates are going up, bond rates are going up. That means there's more demand for money. So that's a good sign. So I like to think of it as the difference. And I'm not a big sports fan, but a lot of times there's wonderful analogies. The difference between football and baseball. Football is played on a rectangle, right? What happens if you go out of bounds?
You're a girl.
No, you're out of the play. If you go out of bounds, the play ends. It's over, right? But baseball is a triangle, right? But it's an open-ended triangle. There's no end. You can go. The ball can go for. Well, it can't go forever. A lot of people do, and they're getting rid of those baseball bats, right? They're getting rid of those aluminum bats.
Yeah, I mean, 84 bats.
Right. These bats that are made out. Don't touch. Sit down. I'll get to you. The bats are made out of metals, and so the ball. Goes a whole lot faster.
No more.
Right, they're stopping that.
They're beating Corvette.
They're stopping them.
Half wood and half composite.
But aren't they stopping them because of the dangers involved?
No, yeah. They killed the kid in Northridge.
Yeah. People are getting killed. Pitchers and infielders were getting killed by the balls. So, yeah. So that's the difference. Bonds are fixed, but stocks are open-ended. Every time a company or a municipality or the federal government issues a bond, there's a trust indenture. You can think of it like the mortgage contract or the contract when you bought your car for the loan. It's called an indenture. It sets forth the terms between the issuer and the bondholders, describes the rights and the obligations, and they appoint a trustee, somebody to watch over to make sure that the obligations are carried out. That's usually a commercial bank or a trust company. Stipulates the protective covenants, obligations of the bond issuer to keep doing business, keep equipment in working order, make payments on time. For example, Southwestern College. Have you been following the news, folks?
No?
Well, if you have been, you'll notice that we are in the news quite a bit. And Sweetwater also?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yes. Because, yes, they broke into, they didn't break, they had a warrant. They came into the guy and the gal's house at 4 a.m. in the morning with their guns. We have sold Southwestern College bonds to fix up the campus. You heard of Proposition R? You'll see it around
there.
Exactly. The big thing was going to be to build out the corner lot. And there was all kinds of hanky-panky going on. Well, there's these protective covenants in the indenture that says that Southwestern must use that money to build out the lot on Otay Lakes Road. They can't use the money to throw a party or to
Laker tickets
or you know, trips to, where did they go? Trips to, no, they didn't go to the Philippines. They went up to Napa Valley for wine tasting, $1,700. What? That's really important, right? I know. Well, some people are going to go to jail for it. And the thing is, it's really not worth that much, really, when you think about it. Laker tickets, so what, $200, right? But still, is it enough to go to jail for? I mean, if you're going to go to jail, I want $2 million, $20 million, you know? What if I get away, because then I'm okay. You know, this way you get away, you know.
He's trying to make a name for himself. Bonds or whatever.
Well, it's illegal, all right? That's their job. I know it's petty, but it's still illegal. But you're right, some people are... The DA is being criticized because she's going after the people here in the South Bay, but she's letting a whole lot of other big fish up in the northern part of the county go away. Like they've stolen a whole lot more. So she's getting criticized for that. All right, why invest in bonds? Well, you know how much interest you're going to get. And when is bond interest paid? Every 6 months. No, the matured. The principal is paid when it matures. The principal is returned when the bond is redeemed. The typical bond maturity is 2 to 10 to 20 years. And so, in many ways, bonds are not the same as a mortgage, because in a mortgage, you pay interest and principal every month. But bonds normally, we'll see some exceptions to that. But bonds normally, you don't pay the principal until the bond is redeemed in 10 or 20 months, 10 or 20 years. Plus, there is a potential for a capital gain or a capital loss. Huh? How does a loan become worth more or less? Well, it has to do with the inverse relationship of interest rates and bond prices, which we are going to go over 3 or 4 or 5 times. And you better understand it, because that's the one thing about bonds that tends to trick people up, is the inverse relationship. How could a loan change its value? It happens every day. Not as much as stocks. Not as much as stocks, not as volatile as stocks, but still. If interest rates fall, there is a potential for capital gain, but there's also the potential for capital loss if interest rates rise. But one thing we want to make sure you understand, and that you can explain to others, if you intend to hold your bonds until maturity, in other words, you're buying the bonds just for the income, just for the interest, you don't care. It's not important to you. And a little important, which we'll deal with at the very end. But normally, you're going to get your money back. Capital gains, capital losses are not important to you. Some bonds offer tax advantages, which we'll discuss. And then there are convertible bonds. Don't they sound sexy? Like a convertible, you know, convertible car, you know, top down. No, they're not actually that great, actually. They don't turn out to be that exciting. Just like a convertible car, when you can't get the top down or can't get the top back up and it's raining. Yeah. Bondholders are first in line for repayment if there's ever a default on the loan. Oh, well, taxes and payroll expenses. Who's at the back of the line? The common stockholders are at the end. So when you hear about a company going bankrupt, often the bondholders will get something. They may get 50 cents on the dollar, 60 cents for every dollar they've invested, 40 cents. But stockholders, they're going to get nothing or pretty close to nothing. Bond prices are far less volatile, but they still do fluctuate. Bond prices can go down and do go down when interest rates rise. So you hear people say, I want to invest in bonds. I want something that's safe. Well, it's true. You know, bonds are far safer than stocks. But if you need the money soon, you could still experience a loss. You could still experience a loss. Average return over decades, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8%. 4 to 6% over for muni bonds and treasury bonds, 6 to 8%. Again, this is much time, over time. Right now, bonds are paying far less than their historical norms. Why would corporations have to pay higher interest than muni or federal bonds? Tough question. Taxes, well, that's a really important part. We're going to discuss the muni bonds. But do corporations go bankrupt? Yeah. Yeah, you know, do municipalities go bankrupt? They can, but it's very, very rare. It happens, but it's very rare. Is the federal government going bankrupt? Don't answer that question. There are a lot of people who think the federal government is going bankrupt. But that wasn't because of Orange County's economy. It was because they did some very, very stupid things with the help of those clever folks on Wall Street. They were using derivatives to juice their gain, and they bought some really toxic stuff that when it turned against them, they got clobbered. And every dime was paid back. You're right. They went through bankruptcy. I forget what it's called, Chapter 9 for municipalities. They did go through the formal proceedings, but everybody got paid back. And some Merrill Lynch, I think it was, had their hand slapped. Don't do that anymore, Johnny. Okay. By far, the most misunderstood feature about bonds is their inverse relationship with interest rates. When interest rates fall, bond prices rise. Think of the seesaw. Sube y baja, right? Is that how you say it? Or bajo? Sube y baja, right? Up and down. Interest rates fall, bond prices rise. Interest rates rise, bond prices fall. And this drives people nuts. They really have a hard time with it. Even people in the industry. You have to stop and think, okay, what happened? Interest rates went down. Okay, bond prices went up. Over the long term, stocks...
When interest rates fall, then the prices go up. interest rate falls, okay.
Think of the trucks. You know, the trucks that get the pickup trucks with the big tires.
Yeah.
The bigger the tires on the pickup truck, the smaller the IQ of the driver. That's how it works. Okay, who did I insult?
Right. So that's right now, currently, in the market. What does that look like right now?
Right now, interest rates are really low, so bond prices are very high. Yeah. But interest rates are inching up.
Okay.
Mortgage, the 30-year mortgage just went over today. I just saw it today. Went over 34% today. The average. Of course, you can find some for less than 4. But the national average for 30-year mortgage rates went above 4%.
Ouch.
Ouch, folks, give me a break. I mean, that's still really cheap. I mean, even if you get 4 or 5%, still, it's a whole lot better than 8 or 9. The average over the last 100 years has been about 7. So they still have a long way to go before they even make the 100-year average.
7%? What's that thing?
About 7% mortgage rates for mortgages. For 30-year mortgages, ever since the 30-year mortgage became...
That's kind of on the high side.
That's average. But for now, that's if you have a 7% mortgage now, run down to your mortgage broker, your credit union, your bank, and refinance. Right now. Don't wait. Leave this class and do it. Does anybody, some of you older folks, you remember 12%, 13% for loans? Do you remember, Gloria?
Dad had 17%.
He hit it. 1981. Right, exactly. For a couple of months there, 3 or 4 months or so, interest rates for mortgages hit 17%. And I remember somebody who had just left the industry, because a lot of people, when that happens, leave the industry because not too many people make loans at 17%. And she said, oof, 12%, we'll never see that again. And I'm looking at her thinking, well, I was pretty young. I'm thinking, I hope you're wrong, lady. It turned out she was very wrong. And now you think 12%, oh my God. But when people, when it came down quickly too. When interest rates, inflation fell quickly, interest rates fell quickly. Okay, so make sure you understand this because we're going to go over it over and over again. Over the long term, folks, stocks have outperformed bonds. So why would you invest in bonds? Well, stocks are more risky. They're more volatile. So some people just want that stability. We use the term ballast. Marine people. What does ballast mean, you nautical folks?
Floating ship?
Exactly. When the ship is out there on the sea. Exactly. You put all the cargo in the bottom of the ship so that the ship doesn't tilt as much, but not anymore. Now they stack it to the top. You ever see it? You ever see those ships, the cargo ships? Or, I don't know how they do it. But bonds offer an element of stability. For some investors, stocks are simply too risky. They reason, if I can obtain my long-term goals without taking on the risk of being invested in stocks, so be it. So we might call this the I can sleep better at night factor, right? Because some people are just terrified. Remember the woman in the exam? She goes, I don't want to lose any money. And some of you said, well, she needs more bonds. Good advice. She needs more bonds. But she just shouldn't, she should have some stocks, unless she believes the world's going to end. Bonds also make good intermediate-term investments, where stocks are normally long-term investments. If you need the money in 2-3 years, the stock market could not be a profitable place for you. It could. Sometimes, folks, bonds are just screaming good deals. Is that now? Are bonds screaming good deals now?
No.
Yours truly, for what it's worth, thinks no. In fact, they scare me to death. Because right now, I'm 55 years old. I really should be more invested in bonds than I am. I'm not. I have a little bit of bond. I don't know. I don't like them. But if I went to a financial planner who didn't know who I was and said, here's my portfolio, they'd go, how old are you? We'll talk more about this when we get to asset allocation. The risks of investing in bonds. There are risks with any investment, and here they are for bonds. Interest rate risks. If rates fall, bond prices go up. If rates rise, down. Everyone should say bond prices go down. Let me tell you this. If rates rise, inverse relationship. But if you intend to sell the bonds in the future, a rise in interest rates can translate into capital losses. Purchasing power risk. This is what most bond investors worry about more than anything else. They worry about inflation and the fact that inflation can erode their purchasing power because the dollars they receive in the future will be worth less than the dollars now. And then we always have to worry about default risk or business financial risk. The risk that the bond issuer will default, meaning they stop paying on the interest payments or principal payments. Much less of a risk with muni and treasury bonds, although some muni bonds have gone belly up in the past, but not many, folks. There's really not that many. And usually, as Hani pointed out, in the case of Orange County, you eventually got paid your money back. It took a while. You had to wait. But you got through. There were some spectacular defaults. And one of them was Washington State. The power authority made a tremendous push for nuclear power in the late 1970s. And then Three Mile Island came along. You ever hear of Three Mile Island? That was 1979, right, 1979. The nuclear reactor at Three Mile Island near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, almost melted down. Almost. Didn't melt down, thankfully. And all nuclear power stopped. And this is telling, folks. You have to listen. They were called WHOOPS bonds. WHOOPS. WHOOPS. Now, folks, would you invest in something that's called WHOOPS? Yeah. And then who else? Harrisburg right now is in the news because they made a huge bet on this trash to energy recycling thing. And it's not making anywhere near enough money it's supposed to. So Harrisburg, Pennsylvania may default. But for the most part, municipalities don't default. Liquidity risk. There is a risk that there may not be sufficient buyers when and if an investor wants to sell their bonds. The problem is many people don't sell their bonds like they do stocks. They hang on to them. Stocks are traded all the time, but people buy the bonds and they say, I'm happy with these bonds. So when you go to sell your bonds, there's not a whole lot of people interested because they already have theirs. It's not like they're trading back and forth. But it's not as big a problem as people make it out to be. I'm not that familiar with buying and selling bonds, but my understanding is it's not as big a problem. And then we'll discuss call risk, prepayment risk. We'll talk about calls in a little bit. This is the risk that a bond will be called away from the investor before its scheduled maturity date. If you have a 7% home loan right now, you want to run down right now and refinance. Well, that company that's making 7%, if you pay off that mortgage, are they making 7% anymore? No, they have to take the cash you gave them when you refinanced your $100,000 or $200,000 loan. They've got to reinvest that at a lower interest rate. So the same thing can happen to you if you invest in a bond that's paying a great interest rate, and then the issuer says, well, we want to refinance. We call the bonds in. We give you your money back. Don't worry, you get your money back. But now you're not going to get the 7%, 8%. You're going to go out and get 5% or 4%. And some bonds are non-callable. More about the call feature in a bit. The coupon rate. This is a term you need to learn, although it is obsolete technology-wise, but people still use the term coupon. A better name is the nominal rate, or the nominal yield, or the coupon yield. So we use rate and yield synonymously. This is the named rate. This is the interest rate that's tied to the bond. It is fixed. It doesn't change. There may be a few bonds where it does, but no. Most bonds, 99.whatever%, are going to have a coupon rate that doesn't change. And as we said, how often are they paid? Sound like a test question?
Yeah.
Going to get that one right?
Yeah.
When are bonds paid?
Every 6 months.
Although, just to make things interesting, some bonds pay every quarter, some bonds pay annually, some bonds pay monthly. Yeah. But just remember 6 months. Now, where did the term coupon rate come from? It comes from the fact that bonds used to have coupons attached to them. you would get the bond document, and there'd be all these coupons. And every 6 months, you'd cut out the coupon, put your name on it, address, send it in, and they'd send you back a check. Cute? Do they do that anymore?
No.
No way. It's all electronic, right? But for that reason, we still... It made it easy to sell the bond, because all you had to do was sell the bond to somebody, and then they cut the coupon and send it in with some with a different name on it. But even though, to this day, even though there are no more of these things, to this day, earning interest from a bond is often called clipping the coupon, even though now virtually all transactions are done electronically. I told you bonds were boring, didn't I? Yeah, they even have coupons. The principle. And I ain't nothing boring but a coupon. Principle. This is the face value or the par value. All of these names mean the same thing. And it's typically $1,000. Bonds typically are in $1,000 pieces, sometimes they're called, which is a silly name, but that's the name they use. $1,000 pieces. Even though there are some bonds in $5,000 and $10,000, for our purposes, what are bonds denominated in? Putting the coupon rate and the principal together tells you how much interest you will receive each year. For example, a coupon rate of 7% and a principal of $1,000 gives you
$70.
That makes sense, right? 1,000 times 7%. So you're going to get $35 twice a year. And since all bonds, almost all bonds, are denominated in $1,000 increments, knowing the coupon rate gives you the amount of interest. Therefore, bond investors simply refer to their bonds by the coupon rate and maturity. I bought a 7% 30-year bond. And you know you're going to get $70 every year for 30 years, $35 twice a year. Make sense? Not 7 cents. No, it's 7% of a 1,000. Some people put down 7 cents. How much interest are you going to get this bond? 7 cents. 7% of a $1,000, $70. The maturity date is the date on which the bond matures and the principal must be repaid. Term bonds, which are by far the most common bonds, mature all at once. So, example, a company issues 20-year bonds that all mature in 20 years on the same date. So we're used to seeing a loan where we pay some principal and we pay some interest every month, right? Your car loan, your mortgage loan, your credit card loan. But that's not the way most bonds work. Most companies issue, and municipalities and the federal government, issue the bonds and they pay the interest, and then when the bond matures, you get your principal back. Well, now wait a minute. How does the bitch, you know, how do you pay off the bond? Well, sometimes they just roll it over. Often there's what we call a sinking fund. Isn't that a great name? I don't like that name. It means their job. It's a dumb name, sinking fund. That doesn't sound like sinking. Sinking, I like floating. But they have to put money away into a separate fund so that when the bonds come due, they have money to pay off. I don't understand. Why don't you just pay the darn things off? I don't know. I didn't make the idea. I didn't come up with it. But there are some bonds which are called serial bonds. Serial bonds have staggered maturities. So they might have an issue of 20-year serial bonds, but every 5 years or every 3 years or whatever, a certain number of the bonds come due. Usually you know. Is the 20-year bond issue, these bonds that you're buying come due in 5 years or 10 years or 15. Sometimes they come due by a lottery. They just pick numbers out of their hat. Okay, your bonds are coming due. That sound... I don't like it. It doesn't sound logical. I don't understand. They probably do this. But they do. They do. Bonds versus notes. Now, if you anybody in there who's obsessive compulsive, this is yours. You're going to love this. Okay? Because there is technically a difference between a bond and a note. Notes mature in 2 to 10 years. Bonds mature in 10 or more years. Some, usually more than 10 years. So when people say, what's the 10-year treasury bond paying? That's what I'll call the 10-year treasury bond. It's not it's a 10-year treasury note. And if you're a stickler, you'll say, oh, no. It's not the 5-year bond. It's not the 10-year bond. It's the 5-year note. Okay. Some bonds mature in 50 or 100 years. Mexico, just a couple of years ago, issued these 100-year bonds. Railroads and other industries. We're going to take a look at a Ford bond that's not due until 2097.
Damn.
I know. 2097. Will we be able? You might. I won't. I probably won't. But you millennials, I mean, it depends. You know, we don't know. But the current trends, you know, with the technology coming along, it is not inconceivable that some of you millennials be living to 120, 140, 150 years. You know, that's what you say now. That's what you say now. And my wife and my sister-in-law had the same problem. My mother-in-law was in the nursing home. She had a lot of problems. She didn't take care of herself. She had diabetes, and she was eating ice cream for dinner. She wouldn't sleep. You know, this is what happens. People kill themselves, but over a long period of time. And they kept saying, well, they should just, if it were me, I would just want them to put me out of my misery right now. And I said, you say that now. You say that now. But when you're in there, it's not so bad. You know, you got other folks with you, and the nurses treat you well, and there's TV. She's dead now. But she was in, she would have lived a whole lot longer. Well, you know, you never know. You don't know. But if she had taken care of herself, the statistics would have said that she'd still be alive today. But she wasn't. You know, it's silent killers. Diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, heart disease, high cholesterol.
Hey, what flavors?
I don't know. Fat flavors. Okay, good.
On TV, a bionic man.
A bionic man.
This morning. He said, as my internal organs are aging, the ligaments are getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Good?
And I said, okay, all
right. Is he using steroids?
Spider-Man?
I don't know. CNN.
I don't know.
He reminds me of 3 Mile with that guy back to the day.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, 3 Mile? That long-ass movie for days ago.
No, I don't watch. I don't watch. I do. The statistic is today that people turning 50 years old have a 50-50 chance of living to 100. The fastest growing segments of the population are people over 80 and people over 90 and people over 100. Those are the fastest growing segments of the population. So you millennials, we don't know what's going to happen, but you millennials with technology and, you know, don't get overweight. Stop drinking that carbonated sugar water. Eat less meat. 120, 130, 140. We don't know. We'll see. Some bonds never mature. They're called perpetuities, which I love that name. Isn't that a great name? You get to spit on your friend. Perpetuity. Did you buy a perpetuity? Or a console? In practice, folks, most people, including myself, will use the term bond instead of note. So, you know, if I say, hey, what's the 5-year bond paying? You go, it's not a bond, it's a note. I'll say, The call provision. Okay, we discussed this, and let's take a look at it in more detail. This is the provision that allows the bond issuer, the state or local government, the corporation. Treasuries have never been callable. The United States Treasury has never issued callable bonds. Doesn't mean they won't in the future. But this specifies whether and under what circumstances the issuer can retire, prepay the loan, the bond, prior to the maturity date. If interest rates drop, just as a homeowner would want to refinance their mortgage, a bond issuer would want to refinance their bond loans. So here's the term. We're going to call in the bonds. Here, bonds. Come here, bonds. You understand? We pay you back your principal, your $1,000 for every bond you own, and we're off the hook. Yeah.
Are bonds government issued?
Some bonds are government issued, treasury bonds. Some bonds are issued by state and local governments. Those are called? Everyone should say municipal bonds. Muni for short. Muni bonds. And some bonds are issued by corporations, corporate bonds.
China should have bought municipal bonds or corporate bonds.
China?
Well, they bought bonds from the U.S., right?
Sure they do.
They were saying, hey,
it's time
to pay up.
No. You can't tell the issuer, pay me now. You signed up for the bond. They will pay you the interest for 30 years.
What was the deal with China and the United States?
What deal with China? I'm not sure what deal. If you own the bond, you get your interest payments, and then when the bond matures, you get your principal back. You can't go to the bond issuer and say, pay me now. There's no provision for that. You can sell the bond to somebody else. It's publicly traded security. It's a publicly traded security. But you can't force them to pay you. Yes, Sarah? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a question.
Do you get like a penalty or in some, if you deposit some money and before it matures, you retire it? You want it back?
When you say deposit money, now you're talking about, if you buy a bond, and you want to get the money from that bond before it matures, you can sell it to another investor, because these are securities. These are publicly traded. You can find another investor who will buy your bonds from you, but you can't go to the issuer and say, pay me now. Yes, give me all your money for your car right now. But there may be a provision that if you don't keep insurance or some other deals, they'll buy insurance for you. But there's sometimes a provision where they say, okay, the loan becomes due right now. There's sometimes when you have to watch out for that. 401k loans. If you borrow money from your 401k at work and you lose your job, the loan becomes due immediately. You have to pay that loan. I think you get 90 days to do it. So, yeah, that's why I'm not a big fan of 401k loans.
Saturday Night Live, the terrorist facility, the comedians, they made fun of the situation between the relationship between the United States and China.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. What fun did they make? Because China owns a lot of United States debt? Are you worried about that?
No.
I'm not.
No, I'm worried about it.
You're worried about it? I'm not worried about it. Why? Do you want to bomb the people who owe you money?
Maybe.
Yeah, he ain't going to pay you if you bomb him. I think it's a good idea. You know? Now, do we lend out too much money? Does the United States government borrow too much money? Yes, it does. Yes, we do. I think most people agree with that. And there has to be some...
I guess if you got names, they save you. Like Chrysler or Dodge going down?
No, but I'm talking about the United States government. If the United States government...
What's left the U.S. government? Also, like when Dodge was going down with the...
We bailed out we bailed out GM and Chrysler.
And, GM.
And the banks. And AIG. And Fannie and Freddie. And many people think that should never have happened. Many people believe we should never have done that. However, the problem is, and they will acknowledge this, they will say, we just should have taken our medicine, we should have let several more million people go out of work, all industries disappeared, and exactly. And the problem with, and a lot of people say, no, we did the right thing. So it's a matter of discussion, a matter of debate, a matter of conflict here. The problem with economics is you can't go back and do it again. You can't go back and see how it would have worked. If you go back to 2008 and not bail out the banks, and not bail out GM, and not bail out Chrysler, which means Ford would have gone down, and Johnson Controls, and Bosch, and all the other companies that feed the automobile industry. So you can't go back and do it over again. But do we borrow too much? I think most people would agree we do. We need a long-term plan to reduce our borrowing, but that's a political discussion. We'll talk about that later. Three types of call provision. So another thing that you're supposed to know, I know bonds are boring, I apologize. They could be freely callable, which means that the issuer could, at any time, call them in. They could be non-callable, which means the issuer cannot call them in. The issuer has to pay you interest until the principal is due, and then they pay you back. And then there's something in between. I really should have this one in between this, because in between the two is what we call a deferred call, where the industry, the company or the municipality will say, hey, we will not call your bonds for 5 or 10 or 15 years. So that's the call protection period, the call deferment period. The issuer must wait for a certain length of time before they can call in the bonds. Yes?
That's what they can because it doesn't mean they are, right?
No, it doesn't mean they will. It just says the next 5 years or 10 years, we will not call the bonds. After that, they can call. They don't have to. It's at their option. Treasury.
Sorry. So these callable, non-callable, does that affect all different types of bonds?
Well, every bond will have in the trust indenture a provision saying these bonds are freely callable, or these bonds are non-callable, or these bonds can be called after 10 years. Treasuries have never been callable. They're non-callable. That doesn't mean they won't do it in the future. Which one is the most desirable feature?
Non-callable.
Non-callable. The most desirable feature is?
Non-callable.
The least desirable feature is?
Non-callable.
No, the least desirable. Freely callable and obviously deferred call somewhere in between. So all other things being equal, what would you rather have? And don't you think they know that? The non-callable bonds pay less interest. You understand? The callable bonds are going to pay you more interest because non-callable is more desirable. Plus, the bond may have what's called a call premium. The amount that is added to a bond's par value and paid to investors when the bond is redeemed, when retired prematurely. For example, there may be a $50 or $30 or $85 call premium. You could think of it like the prepayment penalty on a mortgage. Some of you might have entered into a car loan or a mortgage where if you pay it off early, you can always pay it off, but we're going to hit you with 3% or 2% or whatever as a prepayment penalty.
That's not right.
I don't know, right and wrong, it's legal. Okay? It's legal, and some mortgages will have it. So make sure you've read the mortgage document, right? You read your car loan document. Nod your heads yes. Is the judge going to ask you if you read the document?
No.
The judge is going to ask you, did you sign the document? They don't care if you read it or not. If you signed it, you're on the hook. So the call price will be the call premium plus the par value plus the face value. So the example, we have a $1,000 par, $85 premium. If they want to call that bond away from you, they're going to have to pay you $1,085. Are you with me? You understand? If there's no call premium, the bond is said to be callable at par, which means you get your $1,000 back, and that's it. Cool? Okay. We're almost done here, right? A couple more? Yeah, okay, good. I just want to make sure. Okay. Premium now. Sorry to mess up, but I got 20 minutes, I think we're going to get through this, and then, yeah. We said that bonds could sell for more than the par value. They could sell for less than the par value. And so we have names for bonds that sell at a premium. We call it a premium bond and a discount bond. Now, when would a bond sell at a premium? Interest rates have gone down. And if interest rates go down, the bond prices go up. It's a seesaw. Bond prices up. Now, the discount bond is the opposite. The seesaw, interest rates have risen, and the prices go down. So the bond is selling at a discount. Now, a discount could also occur when and if the investment community believes that the bond issuer is in danger of defaulting. So the people dump the bonds. I don't care. Get rid of it. Sell it. I'll pay you $1,000. No problem. I'll take $800. I'll take $600. Because the people are worried about default. They're worried about the bond issuer not being able to pay the interest payments, not being able to pay the principal.
Yeah, I read that a long time ago on the CNN website, you know, the money part section, where it says
who was going under?
I forgot what.
Kodak, Ford.
Bond owners or.
Sure, that happened. Oh, in 2008, 2009, many bonds were selling at huge discounts. We'll see that. We're going to see some bond prices. If not today, then definitely on next Tuesday. Okay, if there is no premium nor there is a discount, the bond is said to be selling at par. So, wait a minute, Plana. Why would a bond sell at a premium or a discount to its par value? If the loan is for $1,000, the bond would always sell for $1,000, right? Isn't that the way it makes you feel? You borrowed $1,000, it should be worth $1,000. No.
Did you notice that interest rates gone
up?
No.
Here, interest rates go down, bond prices.
So right now.
Interest rates go up, bond prices go down.
So today in our economy, interest rates are low.
Interest rates are low. Bond prices are high.
You're going to see that premium.
Right, you're going to see a lot of premium bonds out there. We'll take a look at some examples. You're going to see a lot of premium bonds. And interest rates go up. What's going to happen to bond prices? As the economy improves, interest rates should go up. That's what typically happens. So what's going to happen over the bond price, to the bond prices the next 3 to 5 years? Probably going to go down. Now, how much? We'll see. But I don't like bonds right now.
And how the market is, I guess how much money people have to...
Well, yeah. It's if the loan is for $1,000, the bond would always sell for $1,000, right? Everybody's leaving. Yeah, oh, good. Glad to hear that. Make sure you go to the job fair. The people are going to leave in the next 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah,
at 10:45. No. The price is not always $1,000. Why? Because the interest rate is fixed. Remember we said bonds are fixed income securities? Since the interest rate of your bond doesn't change, the price changes because the price is not fixed. The price of your bond changes to reflect the change in the prevailing interest rates within the financial industry. So you remember the seesaw? That's a perfect analogy. Example number one. We got a bond paying 10%. Woo, woo, woo. What a great bond paying 10%. How much interest are you getting?
$100.
Everyone should say $100. Wait, I ask you. How much interest are you getting?
$100.
Right, because it's $1,000 par value. So we're getting $100. Actually, we're getting $50 twice a year. Now, what happens if interest rates fall to 8%?
Premium.
Interest rates fell. Your bond is still paying you $1,000. But a new bond is paying somebody only $80. The person who's looking to put money in now to get $100 has to spend essentially $1,250. You understand?
Yeah.
The interest rate went down. Your bond's paying $100. New bonds are paying $80. You're not going to sell your bond for $1,000. You want a premium. Now, is it going to be $1,250? Probably not. And the reason is because it depends how long we have until the bond matures. The reason is when the person gets their money back, are they going to get $1,250 if they pay $250 for it? They're only going to get $1,000 back. The result, though, is your bond is worth more than what it was. This would be a premium bond. Now, the opposite is true. Let's look at the other side of the coin. If we have a bond that's paying 10%, how much are we getting?
$100.
Everyone should say $100. We want a bond that's paying 10%. How much are we getting?
$100.
But now interest rates rise to 12%. New bonds are paying how much? New bonds are paying $120. So new bond investors only have to spend $1,000 to get $120.
So that's the better deal. When you're purchasing discount bonds.
Well, this is going to be a discount.
Right. The interest rate goes up, which is 10%. Right?
The interest rate up to 12%.
Okay. Right.
And so this person is not going to be able to sell their $1,000 bond because investors only have to pay $833.33 to get $100 of interest.
Buy a discount bond, but nobody wants to sell it.
In general, if it were me, I want to buy discount bonds. I want to buy stuff at a discount. But that's me. Other people go, I don't care. I'm going to pay whatever it is.
That interest rate is going to be good
for you. That's why there's the horse races. That's the German saying, right? The German saying. That is what makes horse racing. Because every time somebody buys something, somebody sells something. Every time somebody sells something, somebody buys something. Some people like chocolate and vanilla, and other people like strawberries. Do you understand? I'm with Sarah. I want to buy stuff at a discount. But other people, I don't care. Why is Starbucks still in business? I cannot understand why people go in there and spend $5 for something that's worth a buck.
Right. They purchase the place.
It is. It's a genius. It's the ambiance. You're paying for the smell. Maybe that's
caffeine.
Caffeine. You can get caffeine a lot cheaper. Yes. What? Company's name. Well, they had to build. They had to build it up. What?
It tastes better than the regular coffee.
Tastes better than regular? Does it really? If you put enough sugar and enough cream and enough free fruit, the other stuff will taste just the same, right?
Right.
And it'll still be 560 calories. Okay. Now, the amount of the premium or discount is not only related to the amount of the fall or rise of the interest rates. In general, the greater the rise and fall of interest rates, the greater the discount or the premium. The maturity date is also very important. In general, the longer the maturity, the greater the rise or fall. The shorter the maturity, the smaller the rise and the fall. And think about it. If you use that analogy of the seesaw, remember when you were a kid? And if you still play with them now. If you're in the middle, you ever jump in the middle of the seesaw and you can move around? You're just going like this, right? But the people on the other side... Hey, if you're way out there and somebody, you're at the bottom and they jump off the top, it's the other way around. You're at the bottom, they're at the top, you jump off, they go, whoop! Right? That's how bonds work. The longer you're out there, if interest rates rise, you're going to get hammered. It's going to fall quite a bit. If interest rates go down, your price is going to go up a lot. So for this reason, you may not have understood it, but remember when we were discussing mutual funds and we said long-term bond mutual funds are far riskier than short-term bond mutual funds? That's the reason. Because long-term bond mutual funds can experience wild price swings when interest rates move, as interest rates move up and down. Whereas short-term bonds, they start to look like commercial paper and treasury bills and CDs. They start to look like short-term securities. You with me? But if you have a bond that's due in half a year, it's going to look just like corporate paper. Because only one more interest payment left, and you get your money back. So if the interest rates change, what do you care? You're going to get your money back in 6 months. But if you're buying 30-year bonds and interest rates change, I mean, the people buying 30-year bonds now for, what is it, 3%, 3.6% or something like that? We'll look at it on Tuesday. I feel sorry for them if they need that money in a few years. If they need their money in a few years and interest rates go up to just average, if we have a decent recovery, if we do, and interest rates go up just what they have been over the last 100 years, and they need to sell their bonds, they're going to get hammered. That's my opinion. Okay, thoughts, ideas, comments, criticism? Aren't bonds boring? Can you just see yourself explaining the seesaw to people about bonds and them going, oh yeah, tell me more at the party as they leave, or I'll walk away from you. So here is the graph from the book, which shows what happens. If you are way out there, your maturity is not for another 30 years, as interest rates to rise and fall, the premium and the discount is going to be a whole lot greater than if you're 15 years away from maturity, 10, 5, and as you get closer and closer to maturity. And really, it would be difficult to graph, but it would look smooth out here, but as it gets closer, it'll get a whole lot closer. The difference will be, it's not the best graph. But that's the idea. Questions, thoughts, ideas? In general, long-term bonds exhibit greater price volatility and a greater opportunity for capital gain or loss. Intermediate-term bonds and short-term bonds exhibit lesser price volatility and a lesser opportunity for capital gain or loss. Bonds very close to maturity act very similar to short-term investments, money markets, corporate paper, treasury bills. However, if you intend to keep the bonds until they mature, are you concerned about price volatility? No. Well, not that much. You're not, if you get in trouble, have to sell if you're in trouble. But you will always receive the par value of the bond, except in the very rare case of bond default. Okay. Last slide. Yep. Okay. Because next one is, last slide. If you go back to 1960, you'll find that bonds, this is the 10-year treasury note, 10-year treasury bond, 10-year treasury note, was paying a little bit more than what stocks were paying. Stocks were paying about 3.8% or so. And we see in the 1960s, and then we see them start to diverge. Why? Inflation started picking up in the 1970s. Baby boom generation started coming of age. All these baby boomers now are got to go get jobs and refrigerators and houses and the like. And inflation started to rear its ugly head. And we saw that stock yields went up. Why? Because people did not want to touch stocks in the 1970s. We almost had 10 years where the
inflation, right?
It was inflation, and there was a lot of problems. We had the Watergate. We lost the Vietnam War. Oil, the two oil crises in the 1970s were a tough time, folks. 70s were a tough time. And then they broke the back of inflation by raising interest rates. That's your father's 1981. You see, there's the peak. 1981, there's the peak. When they 17% interest rates on mortgages, almost 15% on a 10-year treasury bond. I think the prime rate hit 20%. 20%. Wow. And then we see inflation coming down, and of course bond yields are coming down. And we see the stock market exploding in the 1980s and 1990s, globalization, new technology, until bond yields hit 6-7%. The stock market, S&P 500, hit 1% in dividends. That was the peak in 2000. And we see yields slowly coming up on dividends, bond yields still coming down until 2008, hammered by the Great Recession. And because stocks went down so far and in terms of price, and bond yields went up, everybody flooded the treasuries, the stock market was paying more in terms of dividend than the bond market. And that happened again just a few months ago. It's changed because now the 10-year treasury bond is up to 2.3 or so. But the 10-year treasury bond went under 2%. I would not want to be buying those things. When would you be buying bonds? Won't be a good time to buy bonds.
Interest rates.
Yeah, right. This would be a great time to buy bonds, wouldn't it? What?
Buy high, sell.
Well, no. You're buying low because the price went down, the interest rate went up. You're buying a high interest rate, which is cool for a bond. And then as the interest rates fell, what happened to the bond prices? They went up. When would you be selling bonds? Right now. Personally, that's me. That's personally me. Okay, now, what are you going to do? What? Go to the job fair. Show them if you haven't, show them the syllabus. Okay, because there's three folks, and then there's a fourth one. Let me tell you. Primerica, World Financial Cool, New York Life, they're looking for mostly insurance, but they also want people who are going to be brokers. And then there's a guy who's doing import. And all of them need folks who speak Spanish, folks. There's a guy who's doing import. Uh-oh, yeah, me too. Yo puedo hablar español muy bien, como un pato. Okay, so you want to go on over there right now, tell them you're in Business 123, tell them you're looking to get a job as a broker's assistant or whatever they need, and show them your syllabus, show them your grades. Don't show them some of your grades. And on Tuesday, we will continue with the different types of bonds, bond quoting, and see you next Tuesday. Who needs to see the spreadsheet? I got you. I need to, yes. Who came in late? Matthew, Aldo, Brian, Anthony, Daniel. You were on time. Oh, you came in right as I was. Yes, I got you. Alexis, Eduardo, no. Bruno, yes. Andrea, Joseph Pena, no. David Rengo, Jimmy Ruby. Okay. All right, well, we're going to...